Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Thrash Talk Live. And welcome to the show, Thrash Talk Live. I'm your host, Vinny. Joining me today, somebody I haven't talked to in quite some time, my old co-host and co-pit reporter. Back in the WNJC days, Libby Bear. Libby, welcome back.
Am I on?
You're on.
All right. Thank you so much for having me back. How are you? And happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you very much for that. I'm getting close to that age where I just want to pack it all in and say, see
you. Hey, you're 29, right?
Yeah, 29 times 3. No, not that high.
Right.
20 times 3 plus 1. 31 mm-hmm. for the second time or something like that.
There you go. There you go. Well, listen, we both talked after that Phoenix race, and congratulations to Denny Hamlin. A lot of skirt that we were talking about that were like rumors, did Kyle Busch, and you and I talked about this, did Kyle Busch pull back? I don't think so.
Nah, that's not his style.
It's not. We knew him when he came in as a rookie. Because that's how old we are in this whole business, right?
And yeah, he was what? As a matter of fact, they had a rule. NASCAR made what they called the Kyle Busch rule, because he was under 18 and going
right.
into the truck series. So they put the rule that you had to be 18 or older to run in any one of the top three series. So he was relegated to ARCA until his, like, 18th birthday.
Right. I remember that. I remember old school officials that you and I both knew and stuff that said, if you think Kurt Busch is good, wait till you see the new one.
Yeah.
I mean, they already predicted it. They knew that he was going to be that good. So I don't see him holding back. even for a teammate.
Like I said, he might not have wrecked him, but if he could have got to him, he'd have made Denny work for it.
Right, exactly. So what do you think about the whole Denny basically pushed out Logano with the win?
Well, you know, Denny's looking for his first championship.
Because of Texas. We all saw Texas.
And that was,
with the fight.
That was, I think it escalated more. He did give him a little shove, but was it worth chasing after him and getting some of your people fined? Nah. But then again, they just got out of a car, being stuck there in 3.5-4 hours, running 500 miles. Wasn't the warmest place in the world. And they were talking, and then I guess when Joey Logano walked off, he gave him a shove. Or maybe he took it as a sign in aggression. I don't know. It looked more like a...
I don't know. It looked like a shove to me. Like, I replayed it. You know, I looked at the shove. It was a shove. It was not a, good racing thing.
Well, that's what used to make the sport great. You beat and bang. The fight at Daytona on the back straightaway. Kind of like...
Okay.
But got everybody watching. It's kind of like me watching a hockey game. I didn't watch hockey until somebody said there was fighting involved, and kind of got me hooked,
right.
And I got my dad hooked. And
I remember being at Bristol when I think it was Harvick went after Biffle.
Yeah, he slid across the roof of his car.
Yeah. Right, because they were parked. They were parked. I mean, they were getting, the cars inspected. You know how the top three or top five go in?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I was right there on pit road for Bristol. And Harvick just comes over and just punches Greg Biffle, and stuff. It was funny, because we were all used to it. They don't do it as much anymore.
They're not allowed to.
We were. I remember Elliot Sadler throwing a helmet at Charlotte, to Ryan Newman. And I looked over at another media person. I'm like, he played baseball. He knew exactly where he was throwing that helmet,
Yeah,
and now they can't do that.
Well, back in the day when you had the heat of the battle thing, all the corporate involved, it's like, you got into a sport that was rough and tumble. I mean, could Dale Earnhardt be Dale Earnhardt today? You have to look at it that way. I mean, the stuff that Dale used to do that got everybody to become Dale Earnhardt fans, would he be able to do that today and get away with it? Even with 7-8 titles, so let's say 7 titles behind his name. We probably could have won the 8th if had he lived, but it's one of those things.
And you know what? I think he would have had to acquiesce because everything is so politically correct now.
Yeah, you can't hurt it. But he probably would have retired. Stayed the car owner at DEI.
Yeah, he would have been the next Joe Gibbs or something. Without a doubt,
The big powerhouse owner, Gibbs, Kendrick,
right.
Childress. And I guess you could throw Ganassi in there, too.
Penske, can't forget Penske.
Oh, can't forget Penske. Oh, speaking of Penske, boy, he just did the job. Bought Indy Motor Speedway and
I
Indy
know. What do you think about that?
Good for him. He can do it. And I think he might be able to bring some luster to that series because back when Tony George separated from Cart to start the IRL racing
league, I remember that.
They kind of got away from that Euro-style road course running thing, and Tony George just said, we're going to run ovals, we're going to use this type of car, and being I own in the motor speedway, guess what, folks? You want to get in, that's what you got to run. So,
right.
Was it a battle between the two series? Yeah, because they both couldn't draw flies, attendance-wise. I think that's why they finally got back together, because back then NASCAR was in its peak.
Mm-hmm.
But the racing was a lot closer in the IRL because, you know, they were able to compete side by side, and they ran a lot of the ovals that NASCAR ran and was able to say, hey, you like that? Watch this. The only IndyCar races I've ever been to were at ovals. Nazareth, PA, the last time they were there, in Pocono.
Well, they were at Richmond, so I saw the IndyCars. That's the first time I ever saw a car go off the track in, like, a diaper. I was like, it looks like a diaper. You know, the how they scoop them up, you know, and take them out. Whereas mm-hmm. in NASCAR, you're used to the crew pushing them to the garage. And it was pretty cool when Indy was at Richmond.
Yeah, it was the Suns Trust 500, I think.
Yes, exactly. Did you
something.
Get to go out to that?
Not that one.
Okay.
I said I went to Nazareth. I had to cover it. And, I went to Nazareth for the final events. They hosted the IndyCar series, and back then it was still the Busch series. And that's when I got, like, some one-on-ones with Michael Waltrip, who had just won the Daytona 500 not too long ago, and Derek Cope was there. He won the Daytona 500 that year. Martin Truex Jr. was up and coming. Kyle Busch, Clint Bowyer, when he used to drive, he drove the Reese's car for.
I remember.
All these guys now that are now topping their field. Poor Clint, he's got some big shoes to fill driving the 14. So.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think he's a good one if you're going to take over those big shoes. You know.
Yeah, because you figure.
I like Bowyer.
Yeah, he's an entertaining guy. He's always fun. He was always fun in the press conferences. The one and only race I covered at Richmond, our friend Gil had to go attend the opening of the George W. Library in Texas, so I filled in for him that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lost. I did not know where to go, but fortunately, our friend Amy happened to be in the area. I said, where do I go? So,
yeah, Amy's
I had
great.
A photographer
but,
with me.
Right.
I took my wife as my photographer, and we covered it down there.
So now, what are you thinking about Miami?
Miami. Well, let's see.
I mean, that was our little homework, you know. Who do you think is going to do it in Miami?
Well, if you look at...
Kevin Harvick has the best finishes.
Yeah, he does. And if you look at the top four who finished this past year, Logano won the race, won the championship. Seems like whoever wins Miami wins the championship. And then right behind him is Truex, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. They were the final four last year. So three of those guys are returning this year. The only caveat is Logano's out and Hamlin's in.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamlin started on the pole there and led three times for 41 laps. Everybody else, Logano led 80 laps. Truex led 20 laps. Harvick led 58 laps. Kyle Busch led 21 laps. The only one who led double-digit laps was finished 13th behind Hamlin was Kyle Larson. Now, looking at it, you're going to have three Toyotas.
Correct.
And a Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So, Harvick started 12th and Klein. Truex started 3rd. Like I said, Logano started 5th. There could be a spoiler. I don't know. I'll make that prediction.
They're saying
at the end
the
of
spoiler
show.
Would be Larson.
They're saying, and personally, I don't think he's had that good a year to where he's going to be
right.
spoiling him.
Well, you know, it was AJ Allmendinger. You know, you and I talked about this. He was like, Kyle Larson easily could be the spoiler, but he's such a courteous driver when it comes to people that are in the championship. And I guess to his detriment, I don't know.
Well, Logano could be a spoiler. He could take the win.
Well, Logano is like out for it.
So, it's a Penske Ford. They've been running good all year. Actually, he's been running the best out of the Penske Fords this year. Blaney second,
right.
Fred K. He did win a few races, did make the playoffs, but he hasn't had it when he needed it. Whether the car just wasn't there, they didn't share enough info, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. Chase Elliott could be a spoiler. He's had a lot of good runs, made the playoffs, got eliminated. So he finished
so
seventh
last
year.
Do you want to be the one that throws a champion off of winning, or are you just racing and that's it?
Personally, if I were driving, yeah, I want that big trophy.
Okay. Right.
I want that big paycheck.
Because no matter what, if Harvick ends up coming in second, he's the champion. Because that's how it is with the top four.
Right.
Whoever finishes first or ahead.
And that's the way it should be, really.
Right. So they're at 0-0.
Right.
And it's whoever finishes best.
Yep. All the points are out the window in this event. That's what
right.
makes it interesting. Now,
so
I know
do
people
you like that.
Yeah.
You do.
Being they went to this format, I do like the elimination status. It puts the I think it puts the hunger into it for the drivers. Back in the day when they went from Daytona 500.
It was just points, and somebody could be, Terry Labonte could be where he was in points, and so it really didn't matter. Homestead didn't matter to him.
Right. Or Matt
Kenseth,
but he won the
cup. So you
like
this.
400-point lead.
You are
in,
and the four of you are 0-0-0-0. May the best man finish.
May the best man finish.
Right. Okay. So you like it.
Oh, I like it. And I'd wreck all three guys if they were in front of me. Take it, too.
All right.
Hey,
so we have
that
three.
That Monster Energy Cup.
Okay, we have three Gibbs cars.
Right.
We have one Stewart Haas. Now, are the other Stewart Haas guys going to try and work on the Gibbs cars during this race?
Now, see, that might come into play. They may do that. It depends on who's running where, too. If all four of those guys are up front, the guys in the back aren't going to help. So, would it come down to somebody like a Logano or maybe a Brad Keselowski who just wants to, you know, take home a trophy?
Well, I mean,
or chase
they could. I mean, they could take it away from Denny. I mean, I think Denny's the target.
Well,
I think Denny,
be.
As far as for Logano's team and Penske, Denny's the target.
Well,
this is hypothetical. I mean, this is just you and I talking with whoever our listeners are right now listening, you know. But, I mean,
right.
I mean, honestly, this would be mine and your phone conversation if we were just talking about this. And I think Denny Hamlin is the target for somebody like a Logano. I mean, Bubba Wallace just did it in Texas. He's like, yeah, I took him out.
Yeah, but he had nothing to gain.
I mean, it happens.
Well, here's a situation for you.
I'm listening.
Last year, Martin Truex got into it with Logano. Joey Logano will not win a championship.
Yes, I remember that.
And what happened?
Logano won.
I like Martin Truex Jr. He's from my old home state.
I know. Everybody loves the Jersey boy. And he's
but
a great guy, too. And he's dealing with lots of stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, off track.
Sometimes he's too nice on the track. And personally, as a drafting partner, watching him race at the restrictor plate races,
yes.
I would not want him as a drafting partner.
Really?
He's not your
wingman?
He's not my wingman. When he was driving for Junior or DEI,
he was amazing.
He needed to be up on the bumper. He needed to be up on the Junior's bumper. And he might have cost Junior a couple of
mistakes. So you think he's too conservative? Do you think he's too conservative?
Yeah, I don't think that and too clean. He needs to be a little nastier. Because some of your people that when they get into it, yeah, they get all, you know, they get all pissy and moany when they see the microphone stuck in their face after a wreck. But and that's, I heard they get fined if they don't talk to the media when they're supposed to.
See, that right.
I saw Kyle Busch said, I'm just here so I don't get fined last week.
I remember that quote, too. You know.
And NHRA is the same way. I was talking to one of the drivers. And
they have to talk.
They have to talk.
See,
and fact,
I'll tell you what. I never thought you should put a microphone in their face if they've had a close race. Or you know they're upset, even though I know it's good media, but they don't get a chance to breathe or think.
No.
You know, that's the only thing I don't like. It's right in there. I mean, even with the NFL, they set it up. Hey, can we talk to you, Lamar Jackson, or, you know, something like that.
Right. Let's see. It's always been that way. Whenever something happens, they're at least, you know, first the main broadcast network gets the first pop, and then you got MRN or PRN. They get the next pop.
Of course. I know. Speedy, I've been there. Right.
I know. But see, here's the thing that gets me. As somebody who's done that myself,
mm-hmm.
It's all in the question and how you ask it. Just to have the answer you're going to get.
I agree with that totally.
At Dover, and Tony Stewart was on the at the podium, we'll call it, at the table.
Right.
And
right.
I asked
the
question.
In the media center. Right.
Right. Gave me a nice answer to my question. The guy right after me asked something that was dumb, and Tony just bit his head off.
I know Tony has, like, no tolerance for dumb.
And the person who was supposed to ask the question after me was Tammy, who used to do the website and show with me. She's off married and racing go-karts now, but she used to be it. But she didn't want to ask the question. She's like, come on, Tammy, you got to ask. And you already, you know, no, I'm freaking. Actually got a laugh out of Stewart, so she was able to get the question out and get an answer to it. But yeah, it's all in how you ask, what you ask in the moment you're in. And it's just one of those things that.
No, I'll give you a perfect example of that, and you'll be very proud of me. And I know you know the story. I don't know if we had, I think we'd already met, but I was doing stuff with G. Gordon Liddy at the time, and I was at Bristol, and it was the year that Harvick, you know, took over Earnhardt, you know, and stuff
right.
in the 29 car. And so I was at my first Bristol race, and they'd come out with all the information about, you know, the safety belt and, you know, for Earnhardt. And so Richard Childress was like, it's all out there. We've already done a press release. I don't want to talk about any of that. And of course, every question was about the harness and, you know, Earnhardt and stuff. And so I raised my hand, and I was new. I had just started, you know, doing this. And I raised my hand, and I said, I just wanted to kind of change the subject and ask you how proud you are of Kevin Harvick, because not only is he going for the Busch Series championship, but he's had to fill these big shoes with the 29 car. And he was like, thank you, young lady, for asking a positive question. And then he went on to talk about Harvick and everything. But it is in how you ask, because, I mean, he was getting so frustrated because they were asking the same questions over and over again, you know? But here you ask a question to Tony, and he's like, thank you.
Same thing happened with Jeff Gordon. It was when Dale Earnhardt, after he went with Hendrick, and they were changing crew chiefs, every question to Gordon was about, what do you, you know, their own spin on the same question about change.
Was it when they switched from Ray Evraham to Robbie, or when?
It was Earnhardt's crew chief.
Okay.
When he went from, and, you know,
yeah,
that's all they were pummeling
Robbie.
Gordon.
Robbie.
What?
As far as crew chief.
Who was Earnhardt's crew chief?
Oh, Earnhardt's. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Jeff Gordon switching.
No.
You know,
well, that would have been pertinent. That would have been pertinent asking Gordon about his crew chief switching.
Right.
They were asking Gordon about Earnhardt's
new crew
chief replacement. Well, June.
Gotcha.
And then he was like, you could see the look on his face. And then, you know, I finally get in. Usually, if I'm not one or two asking the questions, but I was
right.
thinking of a question, but everybody, and I had just, no lie, I had just was in the men's room with Gordon. And I said, you go first. You got a press conference to get to.
Right. That's funny.
He said, thanks, man. And when I got the question, it was like, what do you think of Dale Earnhardt Jr. getting a new crew chief there? Sir, new crew chief there? That I raised my hand. I was like, I'd like to change the subject. He goes, thank you. And
oh,
they just did
my
all
gosh.
That
so,
work.
Yeah.
Oh, they just did all that work to Dover, new pit road, widening it out, cleaning it up a bit. And, I changed it to that. And he was like, and then he just gave an answer what he was thought and all that kind of stuff. And then, they started hammering about the crew chief thing. But it was just a total different conversation he was having.
No, I mean, I felt that, you know, like, actually, Richard Childress saw me later, you know, on the track, and he said, thank you so much for trying to change the subject. I'm like, absolutely. I mean, it was the same questions, just different verbiage, you know?
Yeah.
And he had stated, I don't want to talk about this. We've already done a press conference nationally, you know?
Right.
And stuff. And they didn't care?
No. And Childress probably remembered you from that day forward.
He still does whenever he sees me.
See, that's it. You left a mark that left an impression, which is always a good thing. It was a good impression.
Do you want to know that one of the things I never did, and I had the opportunity, was to ask Kenny Schrader about that moment that he went to Earnhardt's car, right? Because I knew about it through some of his crew guys, because, you know, we were really close to the crew, too. Like, you know, I would introduce you to crew members and everything, and we had them on the show and stuff. I mean, you know, you embrace all of them because it's all a team and stuff. And, you know, that's where we met Jason from Tony Stewart's 20 car. And, you know, you've met plenty. But even though I knew what happened, what Schrader saw, I never once asked him about that. You know, what was it like?
Yeah, he could see the look on his face that it wasn't pretty.
You knew. And a lot of the guys would be standing talking to, you know, officials and everything. And they always knew I was never going to just put a mic in their mouth. You know, like they could be standing there and have a conversation and they'd wave. But I always went through like their PR people to set up, you know, interviews. I mean, I never had to do that with Sterling because we all know Sterling was one of my favorites. But, you know, everybody else, Bobby Labonte could be there, you know, just chit-chatting with someone. And he'd wave, but he knew I wasn't going to run up and try and get an interview.
Right.
You know? Whereas, a lot of these people, just as soon as they see him, they would, you know, go right after him. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do it a different way.
Yeah, well, I always used to go through the PR people unless...
Yes, I know. We were both really good about that. And stuff. But anyway, I don't know if we've been entertaining or not. Or are we just catching up and reminiscing? But we've talked about...
Sometimes that's entertaining.
Well, we have more stories that they don't even know about. And maybe we need to save them as treats. Like, I think I've called you from a racetrack and put David Starr on the phone for you. You know? And everything. And you're like, you know, he's like, hey, Vince, how's it going? You know.
Fortunately, so. I'm quick enough on my feet to where I can come up with a question.
You are always good. You were always good. Yes.
I like when people go to say, do you have a list of questions I could look at? I said, no. I said,
no.
I'll ask one and the rest will go from there. answer there. That's
right.
Question off the answer.
Right.
And usually usually it's a conversational call in anyway, so I really don't pound them with questions. And one thing that always gets me is when people go, tell us about this, or tell us. No, ask a question. Put it in a question form. It's easy to say, tell us about your win.
Well,
come on, man.
Bobby Labonte was a great teacher for me when I first started, because I had decided I was going to, it was the Winston in 2001. And so I decided to do like a question of the day, right? So every driver, I would be like to Todd Bodine, you know, I was like, in one word, describe your car. Okay. So, you know, he was like,
be careful.
Quick, you know, no. And Rusty was like lightning and everything. And so then I get to Jeff Gordon, you know, and I'm like, in one word, describe your car. And he goes, winner, you know. And he ended up winning. But now I was like super confident because I'd made Jeff Gordon stutter, you know. And it was funny because he was like, you don't know me very well. One word, you know. And he's like, winner, you know. And everybody laughed. And I was like, oh. And then my next one was Bobby Labonte, who was the reigning champion, you know. But this is where I learned, always check your driver's times before you ask them about their car, because he was like, bright. And I'm like, and he said, you said one word. And I'm like, thank you. And that's where, because he had had a bad qualifying. So the only nice mm-hmm. thing he could say about his car was bright, because it was green, you know, his interstate batteries. And I was like, that will never, ever happen again. I will never ask a guy, you know, a driver about their car until I've seen qualified.
How it's running.
You know, yeah. And I was like, in one word, describe your car. And he's like, bright. And I'm like, and he's like, well, you said one word. And I'm like, thank you.
Well, at least he didn't say the S word.
No, he did not. I should have gone to Sterling, where he's like, I think a bunch of drunks put it together, considering our times. That's stuff I couldn't air.
That's
Sterling
said. But, you know. Well, let's see. You were into the truck series. We have four guys going to the finale here after their...
Right.
So you got Stuart Friesen, who won at Phoenix, Ross Chastain, Brett Moffitt, and Matt Kraft. Now, the only
Jeez,
one
okay,
won a title
I am
in that
only
going to
go with. There's two I know, Matt and Ross. And Ross mm-hmm. is a good young man. He's a very nice young man, and I think he has a ton of potential. I mean, I've seen him race. I mean, because he's been in the Xfinity series as well.
Yep.
I think he – did you look at his stats for any kind of homestead race?
No, I haven't. I just do it
right.
for the Cup Series.
Right, right, right. I know. See, we're ignoring our babies, aren't we? So if – I mean, Matt Crafton is great. I think it's going to be down to those two. I have an edge on
Chastain because Crafton, mm-hmm. he's been under the radar all year.
Right.
He has won a championship. Ross Chastain has been a guest of mine when he drove for Brad Kay back in.
It's a very
Brad
nice young man.
Yeah, he's great. He was driving with the 19 truck. And I think Friesen, with the win, got himself in, but I didn't. He only has, let me see his stats. He's got two wins, one just being this past week, so. But he did get that far. But I think out of all of them, Chastain has the better seasonal record. And,
good. So we both agree. Chastain first, Crafton second.
Yeah.
Because the other one I do not know. I feel bad that I don't know.
Who's that? Moffitt or Friesen?
Friesen.
Speaking of freezing, how's the weather out there? We got snow over
here.
Oh,
it's cold. It's cold. How's it there?
Well,
did you get
the
snow?
Heat's running. Yeah, we have a dusting out here in the mountains. But it's supposed to come
right.
through here and knock everybody across the way. So there is a hint of sun. There was a hint of sunshine out, but.
No, it's overcloud here in Northern Virginia.
Yeah, well, it's coming. Well, it might turn to rain by the time you get it. But I
It'll
saw where
evening.
One of my friends in Philly yesterday, and it was flurrying there, so it's
oh,
probably
really?
Running the angle. Yeah. And we had Friesen taking the win. Brandon Jones was second. Chandler Smith, third. Ben Rhodes. There's a guy, I think he drove for Dale Jr.'s team a while ago. He was fourth, and Grant Enfinger, and then Crafton finished sixth. Harrison Burton, that's
Ward,
that's
isn't it?
Son. Is that Ward's son or is Jeb Burton Ward's son?
No, I think it's Ward's son because I saw Ward at Richmond and he rode the cart with me to get in the garage and he was going to see his son race. So I think it's...
Yeah, that probably...
Right.
Yeah, so that might be... that might be Ward's son. And then Jeb Burton might be Jeff's son. Oh.
Ooh, no, Jeb is Ward's.
Okay, Harrison is Jeff's son.
Okay.
There'll be there's two
so
of them in
Jeb
there.
Jeb does not
what
have Ward's language skills, though. Ward Burton, 22, Caterpillar Dodge.
Yeah.
Ward Burton.
And they both come from the same town.
So I can give you accents on some of these guys. Like Sterling Marlin, oh, I think a bunch of drunks put this together if you want to know. Ward Burton, Caterpillar Dodge. We had characters, Vince, didn't we?
Yeah.
I don't think
we sure
NASCAR
did.
Understands the characters that we got to hang out with.
Now everybody's...
I mean, it is so totally different. You know, I think Jeff Gordon kind of started that trend, like be more media acceptable, be able to enunciate. You know what I mean? Like he
right.
was like the model of he was like the model of NASCAR, like where they wanted to go, you know. And everything, but those old guys, God, I'm so glad I was able to interview some of those guys, like Bobby Hamilton, you know, and, you know,
Bobby Jr.
Rick Craven, I mean, who ended up doing media and everything, but, you know, just it was a totally different atmosphere in 2001 and 2002, you know.
Once it got to, the old
guard
was kind of like fading away and the new class was coming up. Now, Xfinity Series, winner of the race, driver of the number 7, Justin Little Gator, Allgaier. Cole Custer was second. Tyler Reddick was third. 3 playoff guys. John Hunter Nemechek, front row Joe's kid. He seems to be rookie of the year, doing pretty good this year. So, see who's locked in. Allgaier, Christopher Bell, who I think he's got 8 wins this year. I think it's going to be him or Cole
Custer. I think
Custer
it's going to be him, too. I mean, Cole Custer, I think, will give him a run, but Bell has kind of been – on the money.
And he's driving a Gibbs car. Tyler Reddick, he's in third, according to... I don't even know how they rate this. They used to give it to you in seating, according
now,
to wins.
Now, does Gibbs
and
have
wins?
A truck in the truck series?
Let me take a quick look.
I'm just wondering if he could end up doing a hat trick.
I don't think so. I think the one
no.
in the truck series is Kyle Busch has the trucks in the 51.
Okay, but that's Kyle.
Brandon Jones. That's
right.
That's, yeah. And then Kyle's, as a matter of fact, they have another Kyle Busch, I call it a Kyle Busch role, where they limited cup drivers from driving in the other series and not allowed in the playoffs. They're only allowed so many races a year in each series as opposed to like where they used to just run every weekend, all series running.
Right.
I was looking for that 100th Xfinity win. And he's going to have to wait till next year to do it. So right now, let's see. Now, so there's no Gibbs car, or Kyle Busch car, which would basically be a Gibbs car in the truck mm-hmm. series.
Mm-hmm. All right. So he can't do a hat trick.
He can't do a hat trick.
Right. Right.
But it's going to come down to the Stewart Haas Ford of Cole Custer and the Gibbs Toyota of Christopher Bell. Bell Jr.
Isn't that funny?
Number 7.
Okay, is that not funny that it's also Stewart Haas and Gibbs for the championship?
I know.
No, that's, I mean, I wonder if we're the only ones that have figured that out. Probably not.
Probably.
But, I mean, that's pretty cool.
I mean, Cole
That's
Custer
actually pretty cool.
Has 7 wins. Christopher Bell has 8 wins. Now, as far as the last race, Custer finished 2nd, and Bell, oh, must have had an incident. I don't even see his name from the. Did he even run that race? Oh yeah, there he is. Finished 16th. Started on the pole. Led 92 laps. And Allgaier led 85 laps for the win, so, but most of his 85, I guess, were the second half where it counted. And Christopher Bell won both stages. Now, the stages, what do you think of the stages? You there? Did I lose you? Libby? I think we lost Libby. Still showing on the line. Did they lose me?
Oh, my phone died. I had to switch to a different landline.
A landline?
Well, I know. Nobody really knows what that is anymore. But my one phone, the charger died, so I had to switch. So where were you? What did I miss?
Not that I was just going to get your take on something. I'm getting old.
Christopher
I forget
Bell.
So, yeah, it's going to be between. I was just going down who did what as far as the season goes with wins and ties. And
right.
Last thing was Bell winning the pole. And then winded up 16th, which means he got caught up in something, screwed up a pit stop. Oh, that's what I want. What do you think of the stage racing, the 3 stages?
Oh, I don't like it. I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan. I mean, I'm only used to that in when they used to do you know, like the Winston that they would do that in, you know, where you
right.
won 10,000, you know, 50,000, you know, whatever. And they would mix up, like, wherever you finished, you might get pushed up.
They reversed the order.
Right. They reversed it. Right. And stuff. I mean, but that was for the All-Star race. I don't really like the stages.
Here's a little tidbit of information. Back in the day, before they went to this format, the races, I guess, were getting
old.
Had the long green flag laps. They were all
right.
getting stretched
right.
out. It was getting boring.
Right.
One of my trips to Dover, talking to Kenny Wallace, he says maybe they ought to put in an intermission, like about halfway
okay.
through or something like that. Or everybody, you know. Go to the bathroom, go to pit stops. I guess somebody had the bright idea later on down the line. Well, let's cut it into stages. 3 stages. And, you know, everybody comes in the pit. When with the playoff format, they changed the point system. So you get if you finish first, you get however many points there are, depending on how many cars in the field.
Mm-hmm.
40 cars now, or is it down to 38?
Right.
Well, it used to be 43 cars, and now it's down to 39 cars. So you
I know.
Literally get 39 points. Plus, you got points for winning the stage. And they got now you got stage points. It's really, I don't know what that goes to. But and then if you won a stage, you got a playoff point. You won both stages, you got two. You won the race, you got five. So that's like, so that was.
Well, isn't that one of the biggest reasons that Kyle Busch is in?
Well, it kind
of
helped Martin Truex Jr. 2 years ago because of a lot of stage wins and playoff points when he was mile and a half Marty a couple of years ago and just smoking the field on mile and a half tracks and winning the races. So playoff points comes into play if you're going to be that last guy in that didn't lock in with a win.
Right.
So, did that help Kyle? No, because he had more points than anybody going into the race anyway that hadn't won. So, he was going to be in no matter what, unless he wrecked. Unless he had a lot of playoff points, which might have guaranteed him a spot. I don't know if they changed that rule or not. Because they used to have it, when the playoffs started, you'd be seeded according to how many wins you have, and then tiebreaker, I guess it depends on how many upper echelon top tens or stage points or whatever, but I didn't even see that this year, so they might have did away with that. They just went for real points, and even though you got so many wins, you just got so many wins. It didn't lock you in at the top spot if you had 8 wins, and then second if you had 7 wins all the way down to 16. So, now, I asked Jennifer Jo Cobb the last time she was on and what she thought of the stages. She says it helps the smaller teams when they have to make pit stops because their people aren't as fast as the Gibbs teams and all that where they can get the top athletic guys to get you out in less than 12 seconds.
Right.
So she feels it helps her team. But as far as watching it goes, it doesn't help. My wife personally doesn't like it either. Just run the race from beginning to end and so on and so forth. Now, what I don't understand with is that they throw a checkered flag that is green and white. As opposed to, if you say green, white, checker, you're thinking of the last two laps of the race on a restart. So, but then they call it a caution. Why don't they just call it an intermission, even if they, instead of running a yellow, they can run a different color flag. Because that's listed under the cautions when it's actually not. It's kind of like a stoppage.
Right. I'm trying to think. You know how, like, they would do it for mileage? Or
right.
For gas? Like, this is a, you know, a caution that NASCAR is pulling out.
The old phantom caution for debris that nobody nobody could figure out where the debris was.
I thought it was just a competition caution that they would do, like if they ran, especially on the big ones, like Talladega or whatever, you know, after 50 laps, we're going to do, you know.
But that was for like if they had a rain out the night before and the track was green.
Gotcha. Okay. So it wasn't for mileage.
No, it was just, if you run for practice
a couple
days. So
if they did not get to practice on the track, the caution for that.
The track is green. Right. You know, the rain will wash the rubber off.
Okay.
Yeah, so they get checked out the tire wear, that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. That makes sense, too. So, it's been fun chatting with you. So, okay, your predictions, you want to do predictions now?
My prediction
for Homestead. For Homestead. Champion.
For Homestead.
I say, here we go. Remember we talked about this. Okay. Ready? I'm gonna do it. I'm going with Harvick.
You're going with Harvick.
I am going with Harvick. What are you saying?
I'm going to go with Truex.
You're going New Jersey.
I'm just, you know why? He's consistent there as well.
That
they both have won there.
Right.
They're two of the three guys that already have a championship under the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamlin's consistency hasn't been there. I mean, he finally culminated.
He's just on a roll right now. He's on a roll.
He's just on a roll. That I wouldn't rule him out, but
he's coming off the win.
Usually, nobody wins two in a row.
Oh, okay. We might have to bite our tongue on that one. Okay, so you're saying Truex. Are you writing this down so we can compare next week? All right, I'm saying Harvick. You're saying Truex.
You're saying Harvick. I'm saying Truex.
Okay. Next one.
Next week.
Next series. Next series.
Next series.
Xfinity.
Okay.
Who do we have to choose from?
You write this down.
Yes, somebody needs to write this down. These are our picks.
Xfinity. I'd hate to go against Christopher Bell. But I'm going to have to go with Christopher Bell on this one.
Okay,
so,
then
yeah,
am I taking...
You can take whoever you want. You can say take the same guy if you think he's going to do it as well. Or he goes
I
Stuart
like
Haas.
Christopher
again.
Bell. I've got Stuart Haas. Do I go with Stuart Haas? Do I stay with Tony? I'm going with the Stuart Haas car.
Okay, so you got 00 Buck. Remember old Buckshot Jones used to drive the 00 car?
Yes.
It's now
I do
Custer
remember
ride.
Buckshot Jones. That is a name from the past.
Yep. There's a guy who couldn't articulate very well.
After being Marlin's darling, I can understand almost anything. Ugh. Okay, so I've got Custer then, right?
You got Custer. You got Custer, I got Bell.
All right. Okay.
And Truck Series. Where'd my truck stats go?
Is somebody writing this down so we can compare?
Well, I don't write when I broadcast, so.
All
you
right.
want to write,
okay,
write.
Well, I've got two Stuart Haas.
Okay, and I got two Bell, two Gibbs.
Two Gibbs. Okay, you're going with Coach. All right.
I might post it. I'll post it on the Garage Talk Live page.
Okay, great. All right. So Truck Series. Who do we have to choose from? Oh, I'm going with Chastain.
Chastain or Crampton?
Yes. No.
Which one?
I'm going with Chastain.
Yeah, I
Chastain. Chastain. I'm going with Chastain.
All right. So we'll agree on that one. Two for Chastain, and then we split from there.
There you go.
Now, next week, since he came down with a cold and had no voice, we'll have Audrey Worm, top fuel NHRA driver and car owner. Another female car
Very
owner.
Very nice.
Going with a mostly female crew next year.
Even the
we have,
tire carriers?
They don't have tire carriers.
Oh,
there.
They don't
just,
do that stuff. Okay. All right. Sorry.
They do it all in the garage or the pit. See, if you
all
go
right,
to a race.
I'm sorry. I need to go see one. You told me I have to go see a straights.
You have to. That's,
right.
VIR is probably the closest one. 2 years, so that's going to be that. But, oh, you'll trust me, my first trip to an NHRA Mellow Yellow event, was life-altering.
All right. I'm going to hold you to
when
that.
When I see them selling gas masks in the pits, in the souvenir truck.
Now you understand why?
Now I understand why. Because when you get around the nitro cars and they fire those things up, boy, that stuff will make your eyes water.
Wow.
And then when you got two 10,000 horsepower nitro cars taking off from the start-finish line and you're standing back there, your whole body will vibrate from inside out. You'll never feel anything like that in your life.
All right.
And I want to go to the four wides in Charlotte, so you got 40,000 horsepower taking off at once.
Wow.
But that's,
That's not
that's
far from you. All right.
3 hours.
So are we talking next week?
Next week, we'll have Audrey Worm on and the end of the NHRA season. We have Erica Enders poised to win her third Pro Stock Championship. Robert Height is looking like he might have the Funny Car Championship and then Top Fuel Championship might be either Steve Torrance or I think Brittany Force is now second, but I don't know if she could make the ground up to take over for her second championship. So,
right.
If you want to root the lady racers, NHRA has a lot of winners and championships.
All right. Well, it sounds good. Well, then, so we'll touch base next week.
All righty.
All right.
She's only 16 points out, so she can take a title. You could have two women champions.
And her last name is Force. So.
Yeah. John Force's
daughter. We know who her daddy is.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Those girls have been raised right.
Yep. And her sister just left the funny car division last year. Well, she's married to Graham Rahal, the IndyCar driver. So it's always I wonder what it's like when your car does 200 miles an hour and your wife's car does 300 plus.
You're right.
The distance is
right.
But it makes
right.
it
right. One's straight and one's total distance. But yeah.
Yep.
No, pretty cool.
All right, Lib.
All right, Vince. This was fun.
That's all. It was fun. We'll have to do it again. How about next week? Well, with Audrey
We need to see who has bragging rights next week on our picks.
Yep. So we
all
have
right.
Bell and Custer for me and you. You have Harvick, I have Truex, and then we both have Chastain.
Exactly.
I'll remember it.
I know. So will I. All right, then. Take care. Have a great week.
You too.
Oh,
all right, you too.
And just a shout out to any and all veterans out there. I know it's a day late, but happy Veterans Day.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
Yes.
I'm part of that.
There you go. Thank you for your service. Absolutely. All right.
All right.
Take care.
Libby, have a good
Bye.
One.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We'll see. And that's our show for today. I'm Vinny. That's Libby. Back on the air with me after a brief hiatus. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Next week, Audrey Worm will be joining us. She was ill after SEMA, so we'll give her a chance to recover. It'll be awfully fun talking to her. Maybe she'll become a friend of the show. Talk to you later. Bye now.